quick this morning with a big smile on my face. 'Cause I dreamed last night my Jaguars clawed their way through the AFC to first place. I got every single jersey, I watch every single game. I got a shiny season ticket now, so everybody at the stadium knows my name. 'Cause I'm a Jags fan and all I wanna do is win, 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 win. I'm a Jags fan and all I wanna do is win. I'm a Jags fan and all I wanna do is win, 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 win. I'm a Jags fan and all I wanna do is win.
Hi, how you doing? This is the JJC Podcast with your host, Andre Moultrie. We have a special guest, sideline scout. He has been scouting since 2018. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right, Andre. How about yourself?
I feel good. The Jags won. The Jags won yesterday.
Hey, and T-Law looked pretty good too.
Yes,
he looked really good.
That was the best performance from the team the entire season.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. That touchdown he threw to Marvin Jones, where he rolled out, and yeah, it was beautiful. That's the Trevor Lawrence we're supposed to be seeing. I'm glad he's. Glad he got to have one good game this season.
Yes. Yep. The thing that I appreciated was the fact that he just kept feeding the ball to Marvin Jones early.
Yep.
And it felt like one off that momentum, the team just kept rolling.
Yep. Like I said, man, he's got to get him some talent. I mean, Marvin Jones hadn't been there most of the season. Chark hadn't been there. I mean, he's been throwing to, you know, guys who should be third options or his first options. So, people need to cut him a little bit of slack. Yesterday's what he looks like when he's got a true number one out there.
I agree. But I will say this. Laquan Treadwell has played his way into a role somewhere on somebody's roster in the NFL.
Yeah, he has. He's looked good. He kind of revitalized career. I think he could be a number three or like a low-end number two on any roster right now. I think Jack should think about bringing him back.
I agree with that. He's earned that. He's earned that for sure. Since we're into wide receivers.
All right.
I want to talk about the wide receiver class in this year's draft.
This is a deep, deep, deep draft. I mean, these guys go all the way. I mean, I think you could dive into the fourth, fifth round and find guys that can contribute right away. I was actually looking at a guy. Oh, God, I'm blanking on his name right now, and I don't have him written down in my notes. But he's out of Lenoir Ryan, Tyreek. But I was watching him today, and this is a guy that's getting no hype right now, probably in that sixth or seventh round range, 6'3", 220, clocked in at a 4'4". And that's a guy you're going to be able to get late day three. So that's the kind of depth we're talking in this class. It's not like the classes we've seen the last few years where there's, you know, three top guys that are blue chips. Like, you know, there's no Jamar Chase in this class. But there's deep talent in this class. I mean, you're talking to the top of the first round. I mean, these guys, I don't know if the Jags are being played for unless they trade up, but, my favorite guy, Jameson Williams out of Alabama. You get to see him play tonight, 6'2", 190, and I think he's going to be a guy that runs a sub 4.4.
Oof.
And he looks like it. You see a lot of these guys, you know, they throw out, oh, well, this guy ran a 4.3, this guy ran a 4.4. Well, like, you know, game speed and combine speed's two different things.
Right.
Jameson Williams looks like he runs a sub 4.4 when he's on the field, that he has true game speed. And then you got two boys out of Ohio State, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. Garrett Wilson's my wide receiver, too. I had him as wide receiver one going into the season, but Jameson Williams has just had himself a hell of a season. But Garrett Wilson's a guy. nothing about him athletically is going to like excite you. He's no freak athlete. He's a good athlete. Don't get me wrong. Nothing's freaky, but he just kind of, he gets open and he gets open and he does it at a high level. Like he's always in a position to make, he puts himself in a position to make a catch and to be open. And that's valuable. And that's why people are so high on him. And then Olave is just, you know, your typical deep threat. That was his role at Ohio State, is just to, they would just send him on a streak and hit him down the field. And another top guy, last two guys, I think, the first round guys are Drake London out of USC, 6'5", 210, kind of in the mold of Michael Pittman. He came out of USC a few years ago. He's with the Colts now.
Okay.
I think he's a little more athletic than Pittman is, but just kind of that same, he's a guy that's going to run a 10-yard and in, make the catch, and, you know, get a little bit. He's good after the catch, not great. He's good in college because, you know, he's 6'5", 210. Guys just fall off of him. But just that kind of guy. And then Treylon Burks is the last one out of Arkansas. He's 6'3", 225, and he's a guy that's going to run 4.4. He looks fast, and he's built like a horse, kind of in that DK Metcalf type mold of receiver.
Oh, I would love to have him on our team. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, he's an animal, and Alex, I mean, I can go all night. I mean, then you slip into the second round, you're gonna have guys there like David Bell out of Purdue, 6'2", 205, kind of the same as Garrett Wilson. I mean, athletically, nothing impressive, and like nothing's gonna jump off the page, but he gets open and he's good after the catch. Then you got guys like Sky Moore out of Western Michigan, 5'10", 195, but he has legit speed and great hands. And so, man, I hate to take up the whole podcast talking about receivers, but you just kind of get what I'm saying. It's that deep right. of a class. I mean, you're gonna find guys in the middle rounds that'll probably contribute their rookie years.
So, how would you predict how many wide receivers will go in this first year, like in the first round? What's your prediction on that?
Those five guys I named at first spot, I could see all of them going first round. Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Drake London, and Treylon Burks. And then even a guy like Jahan Dotson out of Penn State could slip into the first round. I mean, we're talking five or six receivers going in the first round.
Oh, my goodness. I'm hoping that the Jags can get one of those receivers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, teams close up into the draft, we don't really know who's going to be drafting who. And
No.
They may get a change of heart if someone falls in the draft.
And then they may fall because, like I'm talking about, teams know how deep this class is, so they don't really have to take a receiver in the first round. So you could have guys fall into the second that should be first-round picks.
Okay. Now, in this year's draft for receiver, who's personally your favorite?
Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams for my first round guys. As far as guys that can go in the middle rounds, I got two or three I'm really looking at. Jalen Virgil's interesting out of App State, 6'1", 210, 40-inch vert, and reported 4.26 40. Now,
six.
Yeah, and he's a solid 210 pounds. He's a well-built guy. But he's at App State. They don't really throw it up. It's a real college offense. They don't really throw the ball a lot. So I think he's really raw as a receiver. His athleticism is going to get him drafted. That's what's going to get him drafted. But I don't think he's a guy that contributes year one. You're going to have to expand his route tree and his release and everything like that. Next guy's Alex Pierce. He's another guy, third round guy out of Cincinnati this year, 6'3", 212, 40-inch vert reported. Can jump out of the gym. He makes a lot of contested catches there at Cincinnati. He was Desmond Ritter's go-to target.
Uh-huh.
And then the last guy is Emeka Emezi. I always mix up his name. He's out of NC State, 6'3", 212. He got on my radar because when they, you know, NC State beat Clemson earlier this year.
Right.
And Andrew Booth Jr., who's Clemson's top corner, he's a projected first-round draft pick. Emeka cooked him the whole game. I had 14 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown. And Booth was covering most of the game. And nobody's talking about him. And I'm just like, so, I mean, this is a guy that's going to be available in the fifth, sixth round. But, I mean, he cooked the top corner. And you can't judge a corner off of one game, and you can't really judge a receiver off one game. But to cook him in the way that he did, I think more people should be talking about him. I think he's going to be a good pro.
Okay. I'm going to start. I'm going to check him out.
Yeah, man, for sure. Check this receiving glass out. It is deep.
So, overall, what grade would you give it?
I'd give it a B plus.
Okay.
A B plus. I think you're going to come away with, I don't know how many number ones come out this class, but you're going to get a lot of guys that can be, you know, high end number twos or number threes. You know, I don't think you're going to, like I said, you're not going to find, I don't know, but I don't think you're going to find a Jamar Chase in this class, but you're going to get guys that can contribute.
All right. Based upon what you've seen from the games that you've watched from the Jaguars, which receiver would fit Trevor Lawrence the best from this draft class?
That's a good question, because I think about what he had in Clemson and Justin Ross and Amari Rodgers. Amari Rodgers is a good slot guy, and that I kind of go with Sky Moore. I mentioned out of Western Michigan, because he's 5'10", 195. He's not a big guy. He plays outside, you know, like the X position, but I think he'll be limited to the slot at the pros just because of his size. But he'd be a good slot receiver. He's got good feet. Trevor Lawrence likes to get the ball out of hands quickly, and you kind of have to behind that offensive line he's got. So that could be that. And then, you know, kind of those Alec Pierce, Amekie Emezi, just big jump ball guys. And that's what Justin Ross was for it. That's what Justin Ross was for Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. Those two guys, really, I've seen the Jaguars should take. And then David Bell is another guy, just because he's so reliable. Trevor Lawrence is a young guy. He needs some kind of safety valve. And I think David Bell can be that type guy.
Okay. I like that. We're going to get into tight ends.
Right.
Now, the Jags traded for Dan Arnold. New regime come in. We don't know what the philosophy of what they want to do on offense or defense. But how is the tight end class for this year's draft?
I've heard a lot of people call it a deep class, but I don't see there's three guys I think can be solid contributors at the NFL level, but they're not going to be high-end tight ends. It's kind of a weak tight end class. The three guys I got are Trey McBride, Isaiah Likely, and Jalen Weidermeyer. Those are my three top guys. You got some sleepers in there that people kind of like Cole Turner out of Nevada. But those three, I think, can be solid tight ends at the next level. But they're not going to – there's not a, you know, George Kittle in this class or Darren Waller. These guys are more in the Evan Ingram, David Njoku type, about that level of tight end.
Okay.
You know, Trey McBride's probably the best, 6'6", 260, built like a tank. He was Colorado State's entire offense. Every defense he played against knew the ball was coming to him. They still couldn't stop him. He won the Mackey Award. He set the record for most receiving yards by a tight end, or most touchdowns by a tight end, something like that. He's the best. And then Isaiah Likely is personally my favorite. He's out of Coastal Carolina, 6'5", 240. Trey McBride's kind of your traditional inline tight end. You know, you put him beside the tackle, he can block or go run a route. Isaiah Likely is more kind of like the new age tight end. You put him in the slot. Coastal kind of put him on the line, but he's not a great blocker. He's kind of a poor blocker. But, man, you get him the ball in space. He's fast. He can jump. I've watched his tape. I've watched a few games of him. I've never seen him drop a pass that was a catchable pass. He doesn't drop the ball. If the ball's in his radius, he makes the catch. So that's kind of why he's my favorite.
Okay. So if a team was looking for a tight end, what round would you suggest that they would take one from this year's class?
What round? Because there's so few, they're going to be reached on. I can see one of these guys going the second, but I think late second to third round's about where those three should go.
Okay.
Because, you know, all of them have their flaws. None of them are perfect prospects. So late second, you might can reach up, maybe get McBride in mid second, but late second to third round is about where I got them going.
All right. So, in other words, the Jaguars should keep Dan Arnold at all costs.
As of right now, yes. But, I mean, you know, we've got the Senior Bowl coming up. Trey McBride's actually starting to get a lot of hype. They're saying he might can sleep and sneak into that first round kind of talk. I don't see it. You know, I still got a lot. I can watch a few more of his games, and I'm going to have to see him at the Senior Bowl. So I still got some more work to do on him. But, yeah, if I was in the next year's tight end class is good. I would wait. I'd wait on that.
Then Jaguars, Dan Arnold. You save Dan Arnold, hopefully. You save.
Well, Dan Arnold's not bad. He's not bad.
I feel like this year the Jaguars, when Dan Arnold was on the field, Trevor Lawrence went to him. He was Mr. 5 catches, 50, 60 yards.
Yeah, I watched that first game he played after he was traded from Carolina, and he looked good. He said Trevor Lawrence was getting the ball to him because he's a tight end. He's a safety valve. Kind of like I was saying, that's what a young quarterback needs. Somebody can dump the ball off too quick.
Exactly. All right. We're about to go into the tackles. Now, according to PPF Pro Football Focus, Jawan Taylor is number one in penalties, and he's struggled a little bit this year. The Jaguars have Cam Robinson in a contract year. The Jags have to make a decision on if they're going to re-sign him, or I think they can franchise tag him again.
Yeah, they can.
And Andrew Norwell, he's a guard. Contract will be up in a year or so. How is the tackles in this year's draft?
Tackle and edge are the strength of this class. It is a great tackle class. And now with that being said, there's three top tackles, Evan Neal, Kim Ekwonu, and Charles Cross. Those are your three blue chip guys I think can come in day one, start, and then, you know, in a game or two, they picked it up and they're doing fine. After that, you got a lot of good prospects, but some of them kind of, I don't know if they're day one guys. They're guys that's going to need to sit a year. So the Jags kind of, you know, like you said, we don't know what they're going to do. They're going to blow up everything. There's going to be a new regime in. So they need to decide, do they want to stick with Cam Robinson another year and let somebody develop? Or do they want to go after one of these top three guys, let Cam Robinson go bring in a replacement that could start day one? So that's kind of where I think they need to go. They got the number one overall pick. You got two really good edge guys there. You could build your defense around, put it opposite of Josh Allen. They could go that, but if not, Evan Neal's OT1 for me, 6'7", 351, an absolute mammoth of a man, and he moves well. I think he's probably going to run 5'2", but, you know, and 5'2", isn't, you know, you think that ain't great, but he's 350 pounds.
That's pretty fast.
5'2", he's moving at 350 pounds if you run a 5'2". So we're kind of going to have to see what they want to do. I mean, I'm not inside the organization. I don't know. I think personally, I think I'd take one of the edge guys.
Okay.
And then grab like a, you know, I got some guys here listed, second round guys. Like you got Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa, 6'7", 322. Andre, there's a video online. This man windmill dunking a basketball at 6'7", 322.
I gotta check that video out.
a freak athlete, and he's a nasty, nasty finisher. He wants to punish guys that are in front of him. Now he's got a little problem with his, you know, mirroring as far as pass protection. I think he could start day one if you needed him to. That's kind of why I have him right up underneath like the Charles Cross.
Okay. But
he's a back end first round guy that could slip to the second. And then you got Bernhard Raymond's a guy getting a lot of hype out of Central Michigan. 6'7", 304 tight end convert. He converted from tight end his freshman year, put on a bunch of weight, and he's been really good. One of PFF's highest graded tackles this year, but still a little raw because he's new to the position. He's only been playing a couple of years. So he's still got some developing to do in his game. I don't think that's a guy you want to throw out there week one. Kind of like Penning, I think he can, but I don't know if that's really the right way to go. Daniel Falele out of Minnesota, 6'9", 379, an absolute mammoth of a man like that. If he plays, I think he'll probably be the biggest NFL player ever. I mean, or right up there with it. But he just started playing football his sophomore year in high school. So, like I said, probably needs to develop some more. Now, Max Mitchell's a guy I'm actually really high on. I'm higher on than a lot of people. Because I'm a big PFF guy. I like the PFF grading system. And okay. He was the highest graded tackle in college football this year at a 96. His drawback, though, 6'6", 297. He's really light. He's going to need to put on 15, 20 pounds. So that's definitely a guy that's not starting week one. So like I said, they kind of need to know what they want to do. They want to keep Cam Robinson and draft one of these developmental guys, or they just want to, you know, let Cam Robinson walk, start fresh with the Evan Neal or a Kim Aquano or somebody like that.
Right, and I'm not even mentioning Walker Little that they drafted last year's draft.
Yeah, he hadn't played football in 3 years. I think he can develop into a. I don't think he had a great year this year, but he's a developmental guy as well.
Yeah, his rookie year, I feel like he got a little more. It got solid towards the end.
Right.
But that was, you know, he did a good job spot starting for Cam Robinson in the year.
Yeah, I mean, I was big on Walker Little coming out because he's a crazy. He was a five-star recruit, but he just couldn't stay healthy in college. So he missed two. I think he missed a year from injury, and then he opted out because of COVID last year. So he hadn't played football in 2 years. So I think that's a guy that can develop into a good starter.
Right. And all of this kind of depends on who they hire.
Yeah.
And that's the bad part about the Jaguars in drafting. I feel like the Jaguars have just wasted draft picks the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, they have. But yeah, first ones come to mind is Kalyvon Chaisson and Travis Etienne last year.
Yeah, and I mean, they had James Robinson. They drafted Travis.
Yeah, and I like Travis. I was big on him, but they didn't need a running back. He got James Robinson.
Exactly.
I feel like that was an Urban Meyer pick.
Yes, it was. Actually, he wanted to take Kadarius Toney with the pick.
Right. But
what happened was the Giants drafted him.
Right.
This was his. He said that Travis was his second on his board, so he took him.
Yeah, but then at camp they were running him as a slot wide receiver. Like, why didn't you just? There was plenty of slot receivers in the middle rounds. Why not put that pick into the offensive line or somewhere else? I mean, you know, there's a lot of holes in this team. Running back wasn't one of them.
I agree.
Yep.
And then Travis got hurt.
Yep.
And now, what's crazy is Travis got hurt and he's never going to even play with. He's never played for Urban Meyer.
Right.
And now he's got to play for a new coach.
Yep. Who probably? I mean, I don't know who's going to bring in, but I think James Robinson's the better back. And they're probably going to want to run with him. So Travis just left as the odd man out.
Right.
But you never know. You never know. But that's just how I see it going.
I can see the Jaguars using Travis like Washington's using, what is his name at Washington? The running back.
J.D. McKissick?
Yes.
Yep.
He's one of the first people that came to mind when they drafted him, in my opinion.
Right.
I could see the Jags using him in that way.
It's going to be interesting to see. I saw Bill O'Brien was getting interviewed for that position. I hope it doesn't go that way.
Yeah, me either. Bulky pushed management and pushed ownership to interview Bill O'Brien, so he got the interview. I don't know what to expect from this coaching hire. I don't know who. I personally would go with Kellen Moore, go with Younger, or go with somebody like Byron Leftwich.
Right. What about Brian Flores? He's out of Miami today.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about him. He got fired today.
Fired today, and he can stay, and you can pitch him and say, hey, man, you don't have to go to another state. You can stay in the same state.
Exactly. I wouldn't mind him. He's good at developing players.
He is.
He's a leader of men, and that's something we need in this locker room.
He turned around the Dolphins real quick.
Yes.
Yep.
I was kind of surprised he got fired.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I think they kept the GM. So I think there was a coach and GM disagreement, and the owner sided with the GM.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Dang, that sucks.
Yeah.
Guards. How would you grade this class?
It's a good class. You got some guys. I don't even know how to put this into words, because your top two interior offensive linemen, Tyler Linderbaum and Kenyon Green, they're first round guys. Now, after that, it kind of gets dicey.
Okay.
You got a lot of guys that, like Zion Johnson's probably your top one after those two, and I got a second round grade on him. Out of Boston College, he's kind of just a solid player. He's not no athletic freak. He's just a solid contributor. You know, nothing about him really jumps off. My favorite guy I'm watching right now is Chris Paul out of Tulsa. He played tackle over there at Tulsa. He's a 3-year starter, but he's 6'5", 324. He's probably going to kick inside. I'm anxious to see how he plays at the Senior Bowl. It's hard to find him online, because if you type in Chris Paul, you know, the basketball player comes up.
Right.
You can watch some of his tape. He's really good. And I'm still diving into the interior offensive lineman class, but I don't think it's a great class. I think it's a good class. I think you can find some guys who can start for you in the middle rounds. And a lot of these tackles are a lot of the good thing we're seeing about the NFL now. A lot of these offensive linemen coming in are playing multiple positions in college.
Yes.
You know, you got guys who've played all over the line. So you might can grab a few of these tackles late and you kick them inside. Zion Nelson's one that comes to mind. He's a tackle out of Miami. Now, he's an athletic freak, but he's really raw to the position. But he's only 20 years old. Okay. So you got plenty of time to develop him. And then, you know, you hate for your team to be bad. But a luxury of being a bad team is you're not in a win now scenario. So you can give these guys time to develop.
Exactly.
So that's why I think they should go heavy offensive line this year and get some of these guys in and get them developing.
I totally agree with that. The team's already somewhat blew up anyway. So, yep. I mean, a lot of flexibility. The team will have a lot of cap room to add certain free agents. And last question. The linebackers in this class.
Right.
How would you grade the linebackers in this class? And
actually,
top ones.
I really love this linebacker class. I think probably up to the fourth or fifth round, you can find starters. There are starters that deep into this draft. Now, your top two guys, I don't think the Jags have a shot at her. N'Kobe Dean and Devin Lloyd. Those two guys, they're first-round picks. They'll be gone. But you get into the second round, you'll have guys like Christian Harris out of Alabama. He's an Alabama linebacker. You know, he's going to be a good pro. he slipped a little bit. He was linebacker one coming in. He's kind of slipped now because he hadn't played great, but he's an Alabama linebacker. I think he can bring him in and contribute. But my two favorite right now to watch is Channing Tindall out of Georgia and Chad Muma out of Wyoming. Tindall's a guy, his best trait is his speed. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. This guy comes out at 6'2", 229, and runs a 4.4 40.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I was watching N'Kobe Dean. They're both Georgia linebackers. I was watching N'Kobe Dean tape, and I kept seeing the guy beside him just explode and just hawk down the running back. Before the running back can get to the line of scrimmage, Tindall was there to meet him. Now, he's only a one-year starter, so he's a little raw.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of athletic upside, you can't ignore it. And then Chad Muma out of Wyoming, zero missed tackles this year. He is a tackling machine. He did not miss one tackle all year. If he was able to make it, he made it. 6'3", 242, long, muscle on his frame. His teammate Logan Wilson plays with the Bengals now. And he's had a good year, but he's more athletic, Logan Wilson. And I think that's a guy that's going to have a 10, 12-year career, make a couple Pro Bowls, lead the NFL in tackles. That's the guy we're really targeting the second round if I could get him.
Okay.
And then you get down to, the fourth round, fifth round, you got guys like Troy Anderson out of Montana State, who's graded out really well with PFF, running back combo. Was a running back when he got to Montana State. They converted him to linebacker. His first year, a 19% missed tackle rate, which you don't really like to see. Last year, their season was canceled with COVID. But this year, he's only down to a 10% missed tackle rate. So, you're seeing the improvement. And with his running back background, he's a great athlete. He's a guy that's probably going to run a 4.5. Might could even hit sub 4.5. At 235 pounds. So it's a deep linebacker class, kind of like the receivers. No, really, there's not a Luke Kuechly in this class, but you can get a guy who can shore your defense up deep into the third round.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, who do you feel will be the best pro out of the linebackers in this year's draft?
That's a tough question because I like a lot of them. I think the top four guys, well, not even the top four, because Channing Tindall, you're really drafting for athletic upside. We don't really know too much about his play. If I had to rank my top three, who I think will have the best career, I think it's N'Kobe Dean 1, Devin Lloyd 2, Chad Muma 3.
Okay, and Dean is playing tonight, actually. So
he is. And really, him and Lloyd are kind of interchangeable. N'Kobe Dean's the better athlete, but Devin Lloyd's longer and he gets to the ball carrier better. N'Kobe Dean just plays like his hair is on fire. That's what I like about him. He's always wide open into the football. But those three guys, I think, have the best shot at having a good long pro career.
Okay. That sounds good. I like this. This draft class.
It's a good class for what the Jaguars need.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate this.
It's no problem at all, Andre.
The Jags have had such a tough season, and as fans, sometimes it's like we want to see a winner.
Yeah.
And we want to see him win. And we had somewhat high expectations for this year because we got Trevor Lawrence. We, quote unquote, got a coach that was going to establish the culture.
Yeah, a winning coach.
Yeah. And now it feels like at the end of this season, we're back at square one.
Yeah, back with the number one overall pick. My buddy today, he keeps up with football a little bit, but he he looked at me, said, did the Jags have a number one pick? Didn't they have the number one pick last year? I was like, yeah, they're right back in the same spot.
And what's crazy, I was rooting for Detroit to, yeah, to lose so we could have the second pick so I can say, hey, you know.
It's improvement.
Yeah, it's improvement. And what's crazy is we have three wins. We had one last year, so we won three times the amount. So,
all right, look, it's always, there's always a silver lining.
Yes. Thank you, Sideline Scout. When you get a chance, check out his Facebook and his Instagram at Sideline Scout. I will have the link in the description below. You got any last words you want to say?
No, man, I enjoyed this. Hope we can do it again sometime. Draft season is about to ramp up, so anytime you want me back on, just let me know.
Oh, most definitely. You're coming back on. Most definitely.
All right, boss, man. We'll take it easy.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget, check out the website at www.JacksonvilleJaguarsCountry.com #JagsCountry. If you're looking for JJC merch, go to the website www.JJCPodcast.com. Don't forget, #JagsCountry on social media and Jaguars Country on Facebook.